to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This morning I'm going to speak about a call to prayer. I'm going to talk about praying. What is prayer? Prayer is a biblical word for communication, the way I see it. So what is communication? Communication is two-way. You have a sender, you have a receiver, so you have someone speaking, and then you have someone listening, you have someone speaking back at you, okay? So is prayer life us praying towards a ceiling, feeling it doesn't go anywhere, not hearing anything back? It might be, but that is not prayer. Prayer is a conversation. Conversation with who? Conversation with God. I don't pray to Tian. I don't pray to anyone in this congregation. I don't pray to God. So that's for me, there's a difference between communication and prayer. Prayer is to our Father, to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, who's next to us always, who never leave us, who never forsake us. So why do we pray? Pray to grow in relationship with God, to one another, to God. So where does prayer mostly happen? In front of people or behind closed doors? Is it about people seeing us or about God seeing and hearing us? It's about God seeing and hearing us. So this thing they call prayer is something we do behind closed doors in our quiet time, our devotional time, where we speak to God and where God speaks back. We pray because who does not want to speak to their Father? We pray because we want to grow in relationship with our Father. And He speaks back because a father wants to speak to his child. God at least, because He's good. He's perfect. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. And God's heart's desire is to speak to us, to know us, to walk with us. So this morning, church, I'm going to speak about prayer and just ask a couple of questions around it. That what is our prayer life like? What do we pray for? And what should we pray for? Are you guys okay with that? I need to pray, preach this myself this morning. My prayer life is not up to scratch, it's not up to standard. Because what is the standard of prayer? We will get to that. And I miss it. So there are so many different types of prayer, just like there's different ways of communication. But if you really need to know the depths of it and all the lists of it and all the definitions and the principles behind those, I really want to encourage you. We have an awesome 3-year Bible school. Go and do that. Where you will receive an awesome teaching on the school of prayer. This morning I will not be teaching as much as I'd rather be. I love preaching more than I do teaching. But you know, God often decides to use me as a teacher as well. But that's not the case this morning. So I only want to highlight 3 types of prayer for us this morning. Firstly, adoration and praise. Now what is that? That is a prayer of thanksgiving. The word says, enter into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. So we begin speaking to God. We begin this day. We wake up and we just say, thank you. Lord, I'm breathing. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the rest. Thank you, Father, for this bed, for the food, for everything that we have. I've never felt comfortable with the fact of waking up and immediately shouting demands to God. You know, that's never worked for me. And I don't think it works for God either. Second type is a confession prayer. We can look at Daniel or Nehemiah. Confess our sins, things we've done yesterday and the day before in the week. And then supplication. Those are petitions. We pray for wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Books? No, from God. Health, our daily bread. We intercede on behalf of others. What does the word intercession mean? It means if pity, is there pity here today? I don't want to speak death over pity. Pity is sick, okay? Now, pity doesn't know the Lord. I want to intercede on pity's behalf. So what does that mean? It means I go stand between pity and God in the spiritual. You don't need to go stand in front of him. In the spiritual, I go between pity and God. And I pray on behalf of pity towards God. That's intercession. You intercede. Just like you get an a try in rugby as well, okay? Grab the ball between who's passing for his own teammate, but the guy grabs the ball and goes, we all know that, guys. I don't know too much about rugby, so I'll stop there before anyone asks me any questions. Hallelujah. So that is intercession. So you can think about rugby when you think about intercession, as long as it leads you to God, okay? Not to think talking about rugby. So those are three main points I want to highlight to you this morning, because if you know those, we can go a long way with prayer. First of all, number one should always be thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we all sit here today in whatever circumstances we come out of, whatever childhood we had, whatever amount of money we have in the bank, whatever the situation is, we sit here today because of the grace of God. We all look healthy, okay? If you're not extremely healthy this morning, we would love to pray for you as well after the service, or if you're really desperate, you can just run up any time. We would love to pray for you because God heals, you know. And His heart's desire is for us to be healed. And so we start with thanking God and we confess our sins. And then we ask for wisdom. We ask for our daily bread. We ask for all the things that we need in life. So it develops relationship with God, praying. And then also we pray, why? Because, you know, Jesus instructed us to pray. Pray is a good idea. I always say that we can look at a lot of people in the Bible, whatever they do and say, it ultimately points to Jesus anyway. So I tend to, whatever Jesus has done, you know, we need to try to do exactly that. So if Jesus got baptized at the age of 30, we need to get baptized as well. Not at the age of 30, but you know what I mean. We need to get baptized. But so Jesus, what did he do a lot? The people went looking for him, and they couldn't find him. Where was he? He was on the mountain. He was praying. So he was speaking to his Father. So I think looking at that, it's a really good idea to pray as well. Because Jesus said it was also about his Father's business. How can you know what his business is if we don't ask him and he responds to us? Matthew 26 from verse 41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. We can use this as a substitute, I believe, 80% of the time. And we love to call it the spirit of duvet. Okay? We get up in the morning. We have this great, beautiful, awesome idea and feeling and urge that we need to pray. Okay? We need to pray right now. But then 2 minutes later, you know, that idea, you're really battling. What did Paul say? You battle against your flesh. We are carnal. God is spiritual. We need to overcome our carnality and become holy, become spiritual, because we were spiritual before we were flesh. Amen? So the spirit of duvet, just pardon my French, he can be a booger sometimes. It's difficult battling to get up and to pray immediately. Because why? It's a struggle to pray because sometimes it can be awkward. I mean, we speak to God whom we don't really see. It's a conversation. It's a lot of things going on in our minds, but it is such a crucial part of our day and our lives, which we need to do. So Jesus instructed us saying, watch and pray, lest what? Lest you not enter into temptation. So for me, it says that if we pray more, we will be tempted less. So if we pray more, we will know God more as we will grow in relationship with Him. That means we will know who's God, the Father of lights. He is light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we all know life. We all know light more. Thus moving closer to it, thus moving out of the darkness. So if we are closer to the light, we are more away from the darkness. So that means if we pray more, we will be tempted less. Who's tempted a lot in this building? I'm for a moment thinking I'm going to be the only one. Hallelujah. I'm tempted a lot, especially in my thoughts. So what does it mean? I don't pray enough. For me, it's simple. Watch and pray lest you not enter into temptation. And I always laugh at Philip when he says this. And, you know, it's not wrong at all, but I just agree 100% with him on this. And he says, he said this one time, when you're in a group and many people pray, and I really hope I'm not going to offend anyone this morning. That's not my heart. I'm just sharing this as a joke, and it's scriptural as well. Then we quiet down, we close our eyes, and we pray. But then, sometimes I can believe that we want to close our eyes when we pray, because sometimes Philip and I, we look at each other, but we're speaking to God, and sometimes it feels a bit awkward. But he just says, why do you need to close your eyes? Because the Bible says, watch and pray. Okay, you cannot watch when your eyes are closed. Okay, and I just agree with him fully. Because what do we need to look out for? It's the fiery darts of the enemy. It's coming towards us the whole time. Thus the need of the armor of God, the shield of faith, to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. Okay, amen? So if you close your eyes and pray, just continue to do that. We love you. I love you. It's really awesome. I believe you can focus more that way. But don't feel weird when I pray with my eyes open. Just look away. So we pray in two ways. We pray with our minds. Okay? What does that mean? It means you know what you are praying. So it is, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the daily bread. You pray your needs, your desires. That's how we pray a lot. That's how we pray often. But I cannot pray long that way. I think if I had to sit for 30 to 40 minutes, I would run out of things to think, to say to God. Because I really don't have such a long list. It's just God is just making it smaller and smaller as He's changing my priorities. So that's one way we pray is with our minds, with our understanding. The second way is through the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is on earth, okay? Connecting us towards Jesus. Jesus, the chasm, the breach, the gap between us and God. So we, through the Holy Spirit, pray to Jesus who intercedes on our behalf to the Father. Okay? So we can pray through the Holy Spirit. And this is, yes, your spiritual tongue, your spiritual language which you have received as you got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then again, just as there's someone here that needs prayer for healing, if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, or you have, but you have not received your tongue to be able to pray in the Spirit, we would love to pray for you as well. You know, it's completely biblical, and it is such a part of our faith in Christ, because if we cannot pray in the Spirit, I believe we cannot grow in faith. And we like to use the example, if you pray in the Spirit, how to become strong in this world is we go to the gym, right, guys? We go to the gym. How do we grow spiritually? Is we pray in the Spirit. That's our spiritual gym. So it's a crucial part. But in that, as said earlier, this is just me. I can only pray for about 40 minutes maximum. Then I run out of things to say. But then I kick over to my, cars I have 7 gears nowadays, to my 7th gear. I could just go the long way. Maximum consumption. Praying in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit all day. Why? Because I have no idea what I'm praying, which is great because my thoughts are not so pure most of the time. So the Holy Spirit intercedes on my behalf, just praying to God the whole time. So Paul said, when have you prayed enough? We need to pray always. What is always? If we look at the original translation, always means always, without stop. That, in our terms, 24/7, okay? That's why I said I don't pray nearly enough. But the only way to do it, is through the Spirit as well. So we need to pray with understanding. We need to pray without an understanding, where the Holy Spirit understands. Amen? I have this friend in Nepal. His name is Amar Pahari. Some of us here know him as well. That's joined us on missions. He is this. I should actually have put a photo of him. You would immediately just fall in love with him. He's this amazing Nepali guy and leading a church that way. But you would be walking, and I learned a very important skill from him. Is he would walk, and you would be hungry, you would be tired, it would be hot, or it would be very cold, you know, whatever. You would just not feel good in the moment. And as you would walk with Amar, you know, he would just be himself, you know, funny self, or even just be tired with you or hungry with you. But then as soon as things quiet down, as we went to sit down, you know, in the quiet somewhere, you would just hear, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." If you would just tune in your ear to Amar, you know, 80% of what he's just saying on his breath is just, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." He is so thankful toward Jesus the whole time. In thanksgiving, he's just communicating to Jesus the whole time. And every time I hear him say that, it immediately helps me just to forget about myself and how tired I am or how hot it is. It's really hot in Nepal. It gets crazy hot. So it must be something from God if you are able to forget about it. So then you just immediately say, you know, there's something just a bit more important than what's going on right here, right now, and that's Jesus. And He's King, He's Lord, and it's thanks to Him that I have the ability to feel the heat. Okay, you could have made me numb not to feel anything. So there's always something to be thankful for. Do you agree with me? I believe, and you know, I've really, really been blessed with health. I've been sick for a long time in my life as well, which really made me to appreciate health as well. But even amidst having disease, having disabilities in a sense, I would trust that you would agree with me that there's still something to be thankful for towards Jesus, because we have life. So He's taught me a very important skill, which I hope to just via me, just giving all honor to Him and to Jesus ultimately, just to learn that skill, just to be thankful the whole time in all that we do, whether we had a good test, a bad test, a great salary check, a bad one, or a no check. Be thankful towards Jesus. Because if we forget about our circumstances, just for a brief moment, we are able to see the King of Kings. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For we do not know what to pray. So, you can see what I said earlier is biblical. I don't know what to pray after 30 minutes, but then the Spirit knows. So the Spirit is a crucial part in communicating. But it's with groanings too deep for words. Now, what is this groanings? If you look to the original Greek words, stenagmos, it means groaning. Also sighing. So it's, you know, what a sigh is, especially brought on by circumstances creating great pressure. So it's not a sigh of relief, it is a sigh of pressure, groaning, agony. That is the way in which the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, with great pressure, groaning, agony, hurt, desperation. And I believe we can look the way that Jesus prayed before captured for the crucifixion. He also prayed, you know, with great agony. That is how the Holy Spirit, we pray in the Spirit. That is the way He prays on our behalf, all the time. Complete desperation, urgency, like life depended on it. Now, if the Holy Spirit, who is holy, who is God, prays in such a manner, and Jesus, who prayed in the same manner, I believe God calls us to pray in the same manner as well. Would you agree with me, church? Yes, we have joy, we have life, we have love. But God is life, He is love. The Holy Spirit is life, He is love, He is holy. But that is the way in which He communicates to God on our behalf. So how much more should we not learn the ability to pray with anguish, with a groaning too deep for words? Then it goes on to say, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Now the Bible says, he who sets his mind on the things of the flesh are death, but he who sets his mind on the things of the Spirit is life and peace. So if you read it, and he who searches hearts knows what is the life, knows what is the peace, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we will know what life is, we will know what peace is through praying in the Spirit. Amen? So prayer, for me, is the answer to so many shortcomings which we may experience currently in our lives. Do we feel that we have complete life, complete peace? Not a lot of temptations. Because if that is us, and we're struggling with these things, you know what, we need to pray more. We need to pray with anguish and with groaning. Acts 7 from verse 34. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. So God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. Why? Because He heard their prayers. He heard their groanings. Okay? It doesn't say, and God heard their beautiful prayers, their requests, their groanings. So I believe the Israelites were in this place of complete desperation, in need of a Savior out of the situation. Just some evenings, I believe they would, instead of just praying, they would just groan before God out of this place, because they don't have the ability to pray in the Spirit. So they had to do this themselves, okay? So God heard it and God answered their prayers, and we all know what happened to the Israelites, amazing wonders and signs, and they were delivered from the hands of Pharaoh. Are we waiting on God for deliverance, for rescue, for help? Are we in a desperate search for signs and wonders? Does God hear our groanings towards Him, our desperation, our anguish? Because we understand that without God, it's death, it's chaos. Now, there are many prayer giants, in a sense, in Scripture, but for today, I only want to look at one person, to Epaphras. I don't know if you've read about him. It's a bit of background on Epaphras. He's a fellow servant and fellow prisoner of the Apostle Paul, and a faithful minister. He was Paul's representative at Colossae, where he had founded the church, and sought under Paul's advice to combat prevalent heresies there. Okay, so Paul was a prayer warrior, was a minister, fellow servant, fellow prisoner with Paul. So he was walking the walk as the apostles did. Let's read together out of Colossians from chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Epaphras knew how to lay all before the Lord and laboring in secret. He made the saints around him, the the people in his church. He made them to be perfect in the perfection of Christ. He made them perfect in standing through his kneeling. So Epaphras understood that as a leader, as a friend, as a brother, he had this urgency for his fellow servants to walk in uprightness, to stand in the perfection of Christ through his kneeling. So he took responsibility for them and he was praying for them in secret like crazy. And Paul saw it, Paul acknowledges it, and he encouraged others to do the same. He made the saints to be perfect and complete. He strove earnestly in his prayers for the Colossians. He wrestled in prayer that they might be perfect in the perfection of Christ and fully assured in all the will of God. Paul testified to the perseverance as well as the prayers of Epaphras. He knew how to toil on behalf of the saints of God. He was practical and as well as prayerful. Epaphras' prayers for the stability and maturity of others were numerous, continuous, strenuous. Epaphras brought to Paul at Rome a report of the Colossian church where he had ministered in Paul's stead, an account that cheered his heart and resulted in the writing of the Colossian epistle, which Epaphras then took back to his flock. So can we today say that we are true successors of Epaphras and his manner of praying on behalf of others? This morning, who here sitting in our midst, and it's okay to just to put your hand up in this moment, who's prayer warriors in our house, in our family? You pray on behalf of others the whole time. God has laid on you this burden to pray, to intercede for others. Who are you in this place? Can I perhaps ask you guys just come sit here in the front for me? As you guys understand the burden of prayer, to toil, to labor on behalf of others, right? You guys feel a burden. God wakes you at night. He keeps you awake even. And he says you need to pray for your family, your brothers and sisters. Stand in the gap on their behalf. Am I right? So what we're going to do after I'm finished with the sermon is we're going to create a space and in time that if we feel that we don't have this burden to pray for others, okay, that they will lay hands on us for that to be released. Because you know what? The kingdom business is way too important for a select few to take responsibility of. It's not the leaders and the prayer giants' responsibility to keep the kingdom going and in order and praying on behalf of others. It is everyone's responsibility. Just like it is not an evangelist's only job to evangelize, it's a Christian's job, right? Just so it is not an intercessor's job to pray, it is a Christian's job to pray. Would you agree with me this morning? So I'm going to continue. And they will be the ones just imparting this burden they get in the gut, am I right? To pray until this thing lifts. We're going to pray to have the same. It's a serious prayer to pray. So I want us, as I just continue with the word, I'm almost finished, that you can already ready yourself and your spirit for what's to come. Because, church, the storms are hitting the church. It is hitting our church. It has the ability to even sweep the most anointed off their feet. The fiery darts of the enemy has not stopped. It will not stop because we are in this world. So we need to cover ourselves in prayer, but we need to cover our fellow brothers and sisters in prayer as well, just like Epaphras did, just as the church leaders did, just as Jesus did. You know, Jesus didn't just pray for himself. He prayed for the whole world, you know. So we need to also learn to pray the Our Father, not My Father. Pray for the church globally and just know that it's not about the me as it is about the us. It's never been about me. It's always been about us. The church is not a singular entity. It's a body of Christ. We are in a generation where the Word of God is perceived and interpreted as lacking substance for this advanced age. No, the world doesn't care about the church. It doesn't care about the Word. It doesn't care about God. They might have some valid reasons why, and because of false teachings and hypocrisy and heresy and all those things. It is out there. We know it's in churches. We as church, Shofar Pretoria, we are not perfect. We are far from perfect. But you know what? We just open to God to make us perfect until the day that He comes. But it is our responsibility as a body to keep one another accountable and covered in prayer. Epaphras manifested great zeal or a great labor of anxiety for those under his care. And the truth is, too few of us are concerned about the spiritual welfare of others. You know, we need to pray. Just as we need to pray for Jacob Zuma, we need to pray for Philip, we need to pray for Fred, we need to pray for our leaders. But just the same, you as a leader, whether you are a cell leader, zone coach, district leader, whether you're a pastor, whether you're in a company, whether you're an elder brother or sister, you are responsible for someone somewhere. We are all leaders sitting in this place, and we need to have an urgency for the spiritual welfare of others. Practical example, God has given us great discipleship tools as Encounter 1, Encounter 2, the foundations. Are we satisfied as a small group leader just passing on a message, hey, you're invited to this? Whether they respond yes or no, we don't really care because we have done our job of passing on a message. Or are we in a place of toiling, laboring on our knees for a small group, for salvation, for them to make sure that they drop every single thing they have in their life and prioritizing growth with Jesus? Growth in attending courses is not about ticking you've done. It is about growing in a relationship with Christ. Is that what we do as soul leaders? Is that what we do as older brothers and sisters, as parents? Are we really concerned about the spiritual welfare of others? Or have we become complacent in this? You know, my knees look really bad. But it's not about praying. It's mountain biking and squash. I fell a lot. But if you go to some nations, they have the ugliest knees and feet. You know, it's got calluses everywhere. You know why? Because they pray. They just pray not only for their small group or church, they pray for their continent, they pray for the salvation of the nations. In groanings and in anguish, in desperation for it. And the question is just today, do we do that as leaders sitting here? When was the last time we were crying our hearts out for the spiritual welfare of our fellow brothers and sisters? Jesus taught us to pray the Our Father. We collectively, Our Father is God, so we need to pray as a congregation, as a body. Praying what? That we need to seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. That means that growth in God is the most important responsibility and priority in our lives. And we need to pray that our fellow brothers and sisters get the same priority. So to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then pray, what does our Father say? That we need to pray that the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, where's God's temple? Right here. So when we pray that prayer, where are we praying God's kingdom to come? Right here. Where's His presence? Right here. The Word says that we have become the temples, the carriers of God's presence. So if we pray that His kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, this is the first place it will come. Why? So that we will represent Christ well, effectively, accurately. So if we become Christ, the world will see Christ. And then we pray what? For our daily needs? Yes, we have needs. We have our dreams. We do need breakthrough. We will always require that. It's okay to pray for it. And then we pray for guidance. Why? So that we will not be led into temptation. And for me, the most important all of this is we need to know how to repent. Is in our prayers, we need to be at a place of repentance the whole time. And repentance is truly just to walk away from what we are doing and stop doing it. Because then Christ comes and He fills the gap. So we need to seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. His kingdom to come in us. And it can only come, God can only dwell in us so effectively in a way to resemble His true self when we have repented hearts and lives. Amen? Romans chapter 15, from verse 30. Paul was on his way to Rome, and he wrote, "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." In the church, we pray for the lost, for the rulers, government, leadership. We need to pray for the ANC like our lives depended on it. How many things are directly related to what they do and decide? Almost everything in our lives. Do we pray according to that urgency or fact or reality? I don't. I need to. And I believe you need to as well. We pray for the sick, our enemies, our fellow believers, and the proclaimers of the gospel. I want to share as a portion of scripture. It will not be on the board. From 1 Timothy chapter 2. And his heading is, pray for all people. First of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. In brackets, I am telling the truth, I am not lying. Closing brackets, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel. And it goes on. So we need to pray for we need to pray for every single one. And our rulers and our kings, why? To have a quiet and peaceful life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. And also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Like Amar strives to do. Give thanks in all circumstances. Thank you, Jesus, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So like Epaphras, church, will we rise as prayer warriors on behalf of our fellow brothers and sisters in the place of leadership we occupy? Band, you can come to the front. Will we take up this responsibility that God has not given to a select few? Just like evangelism, it's not the job, only job of an evangelist. So is prayer the job for all of us as saints? So my first response, and church, you can stand with me if you please. But before we pray for an impartation from those in front here that already they have a glimpse and understanding of anguish, to labor in the secret, that through them being on their knees they help us to stand longer on our feet. But before we have them pray for us for that importation through the Holy Spirit, if there's anyone in this place tonight, and just through the Word, through the Scripture, and through the testimonies, you haven't experienced Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, your healer, your deliverer. Perhaps you've read about these things, but it's not a reality to your life. I want to give an opportunity for you to respond. So we can all close our eyes. Just bow our heads. And if that is you here today, this morning, or perhaps you've given your life to Jesus, but you just feel that you've messed up so much again and you need to recommit your life to Him. You know, Jesus accepts you just as you are. His blood was sufficient for you. So if you want to respond this morning, just recommit or give your life to Christ. Why don't you just slip your hand up for me so I can see where you are. Thank you for that hand. If there's anyone else, got some hands coming up. So if you just want to join them, you can just slip up your hand so I can see where you are. And now I want to ask you to do something very, very brave. If you don't want to come alone to the front, you can just grab someone next to you to walk with you. But we would, as a church, as a family, we would love to pray with you. So if you put up your hand, why don't you just join me right in the front? I would just quickly love to pray with you before we pray for an impartation for prayer. More than welcome just to join, even though you haven't put up your hand. Let's welcome.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is